the UCR Podcast.
It's been a really hard time for fans of REO Speedwagon with the announcement this past fall that due to what has been termed as irreconcilable differences between singer-songwriter Kevin Cronin and bassist Bruce Hall, REO Speedwagon will no longer tour after the end of 2024. Bruce, as some fans will be aware, had to take time off from the band at the end of 2023 to have a back surgery that he has needed to have done for a long time now, and unexpectedly for the fans, and according to himself as well, Bruce ended up being out of the REO lineup for the group's entire 2024 touring run, and it was bassist Matt Bissonette, who has played with Elton John, as well as others, including Rick Springfield, who filled Hall's position for all of the 2024 shows. Kevin Cronin will begin touring under his own name in 2025, and I had a lengthy conversation with Kevin that you can read at the UCR website. I wanted to give Bruce a chance to share his thoughts as well, so I reached out and found out that he was willing to talk, and he mentioned that co-founder Neil Dowdy, the third partner in the REO Speedwagon Corporation, would be with him and might be interested in talking as well. So the conversation you're about to hear is with both Bruce and Neil, and as you'll hear, these two guys are old friends and have that kind of vibe where they tend to jump in and finish each other's sentences or add to each other's thoughts. And even though there was a heaviness to the tone of the subject matter, they did, I think, what they could to keep it light. Having seen a lot of what the fans have been commenting about online, I tried to address many of those points, including the idea of a farewell tour, which is something I had also discussed with Kevin. They discussed the chances of a new version of REO Speedwagon, how their original manager from college days, Irving Azoff, stepped in to try to fix the situation, and why things are ultimately wrapping up the way they are. Now, there's a lot of stuff about the inner workings of a band here in this conversation, and as I shared with Bruce and Neil, this is the stuff that a lot of times the fans are shielded from because, as it should be, the focus is kept on the music. But here with this REO Speedwagon situation, fans can now hear both sides, and for those who just want to hear the songs, as Bruce and Neil point out, fans will be able to do just that in 2025 when Kevin and his band return to the road. And I appreciate the candid thoughts from all involved. I hope that perhaps one of these days they can mend the proverbial fences, because it would be a shame if this is the way the whole thing wraps up after more than 50 years of REO Speedwagon. If this is your first time listening to the UCR podcast, follow it wherever you're listening so that you'll receive future episodes. And please rate and review what we're doing. And don't forget that we've always got a bunch of things for you to enjoy at ultimateclassicrock.com. Here's my conversation with Bruce Hall and Neil Dowdy of REO Speedwagon. All of us, be it, you know, the people in REO or fans, like, we all have a lot of memories tied up in this thing. And I think that you certainly have seen that in the just the overwhelming fan response that has kind of come forth since this news kind of broke this fall that, like, you know, quote unquote, that the band was going to be, you know, winding down and would no longer tour, you know, starting in 2025. So, you know, I kind of wanted to start with you two, you know, where I started with Kevin, and that just is, you know, how did we get to this point?
Well, it happened suddenly. Bruce needed some surgery. That I mean, poor Bruce had been playing in pretty much pain.
Oh, a lot of pain
for a couple of years, and so we said, okay, the tour for 23 was over. We were going to take time off for, well, I was already retired by then, but I've been very active in this because Bruce and myself and our wives who are sitting here right now, we're like a family. We really are.
I'd set this all up with management so I wouldn't miss any shows.
Right.
So I could get it done and get back to work.
So while Bruce was out recovering from surgery, and it had been understood, you know, the band's going to take time off for Bruce to have this back surgery and the, you know, and the physical therapy and everything that went with it. And then when that was done and Bruce was walking around,
Well, there was actually a little bit of a get up in there. There was, I almost made it to the finish line, but not quite. There was still a couple of shows left. I couldn't make it anymore. And now there was a Davis, Las Vegas show came up, a residency there that we were going to do. And we were rehearsing for it, getting ready for it. And I couldn't make it. I just couldn't. I fell my ugh. And so I went home. And that's when there was a vacancy for just a moment in the band, and it got filled up.
Yeah, we like Matt Bissonette, who I've never even met the guy. I mean, we have nothing against him, but
I like him.
he was supposed to f just fill in for a little bit while Bruce got his surgery and recovered, and then Bruce was supposed to go back in. That was understood from the very beginning.
Right.
And meanwhile, Kevin just really fell in love with Matt. By when it was time for Bruce to come back in, Kevin, I've seen all this by seeing emails, which I probably can't quote them. I don't want to
Yeah. Understood.
violate any
No, it's true. That's exactly what happened. When it was time, I got cleared by my doctors to go back in January. There was a show here in Orlando with the band, and they told me I could play. I might have to actually possibly sit on a stool or something, but I could play. But they didn't want me to play. They were kind of happy with what they had going. So I just said, oh, geez, okay. Right, okay. I'll take it easy for a little bit longer. Then I'm supposed to come back in March, and we played here in Orlando again. The band was for a charity situation. And I played that one. I played Back on the Road Again and Roll to Changes at the very end of the show, which was tons of fun. And I
Yeah.
think the crowd had a good time. But Kevin didn't like my posture. He keeps coming up with reasons, didn't like this, didn't like that. And so it became apparent that he was on his way of not, he didn't want me coming back. And why exactly, I couldn't tell you, except, it was easier for him to, I don't know. He was listening to the music in different, it was a little different, I'm sure. Matt doesn't play exactly like me, so,
Sure.
but they sure did keep my amplifiers and stuff and wanted to use my sound. I went to pick up my gear in one place, and I went to pick it all up, and they said, no, we can't let you have all of it. We wanted to use most of it for the guy so that the sound of the bass is still the same as what you have. I'm going, geez,
Yeah.
Louise, what are you talking about?
And I'll tell you, my complaint is that this was all unilateral. It was one person that made all these decisions, and that was Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not, I mean, Bruce and myself, we're all the original officers of the band. I mean, every band is incorporated. That might sound a little too capitalist to the fans, but
It's the reality.
have to. You
Yeah.
must do that for liability reasons, and every band has to incorporate. So me and Bruce and Kevin were the remaining officers after Gary and Alan left, and we were all supposed to be consulted about these things, and
That's true.
Kevin just did this unilaterally. And the thing that really, I mean, this has been going on for a year. A lot of fans are saying, well, you guys, can't you just try to work things out? What's the big deal? Get together and work it out. And they don't know that this has been going on for one full
Oh,
year,
yeah. Over a year now, Trout.
that Bruce and myself have been trying to get Bruce back into the band where he belongs. And we've been fighting with Kevin all the way over this. And like I say, I mean, seeing up close, I mean, like Bruce and I are best friends,
Yep.
and seeing how unfairly he was treated, cruelly,
I know.
and I mean, just viciously, some of these emails that Kevin wrote to Bruce.
Pretty
I
ugly.
don't think we're allowed to publish them, but I just, in my opinion, they were just terrible. And I couldn't believe that. I mean, Bruce has been in the band going on 50 years, and to just toss him under the bus because you got a new bass player that's more fun to play with. So, I mean, I really have no stake in this.
Well, you're missing something. There was in May, we received a letter. Remember?
I don't remember. There's been a lot of letters. It's been a long year.
This one was about Kevin said he wouldn't work in REO anymore after 2020.
Oh, right. I think that was through his attorney.
Yes, it was.
He said, okay, I'm leaving.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, Bruce, you left a comment on the Ultimate Classic Rock Facebook page about basically Kevin, I'm not looking at the screenshot right now, quitting the band, you know, in writing. So I'm assuming that's what you're referencing.
Yeah. In our band, there's the three of us, there's unanimous vote and majority.
Majority votes, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the corporation was set up so that no one individual could just take off with the name of the band, which is what Kevin is doing.
Yes, that's what he wanted.
Or what he wanted to do. And so, you know, of course, Bruce didn't want him to do that. He said all along, all that had to happen was for Kevin to say, okay, Bruce, you're welcome back into the band that you helped put on the map. And he won't do it.
Yep.
So, I mean, a couple of statements that he has made, one that he would never quit REO. Well, he didn't quit. He just sort of tore the whole thing apart. And
yes, that's right.
Yeah. And, you know, like hiring people, like I said, unilaterally, we're not like, this is supposed to be three people voting on every move. And I'm told everybody, you know, I mean, Irving Azoff, who was our first manager, he called me and said, what's going on? And I said, I think Bruce has been unfairly treated and there's no way that I would ever change my vote. We want him back in the band. That's all it takes. And Irving's a very powerful person. I mean, to us, just Irving, our first manager. We've known him since college. But, you know, he called me back and says, no, those guys aren't going to budge either. So, well, and.
So he went solo.
Yeah, it's basically.
But for him to say that, I mean, he'd do anything and he's sorry that it's falling apart or whatever, this is his doing. I hate to say that, but it's true.
The way I phrase it is Kevin wants to be a solo artist called REO Speedwagon. That's what's been happening. So Bruce and I just said, no, if you want to do it this way and be in complete control and virtually be a solo artist, go, you know, man up and be a solo artist. Call your band Kevin Cronin. And I mean, we have nothing against him being successful as a solo artist.
That's great.
But it's just not REO Speedwagon anymore. There's two, you know, there's only one guy. And, you know, I mean, a lot of bands have done fine with one or even zero original members left. And, you know, they all have a right to make a living, but that's just not the way REO was set up to work. And another thing that I think it might have been in your interview with Kevin that he goes, this is the best lineup that has ever existed.
No, it sounds better.
Yeah. And
Jerry's songs never sounded better.
And my wife goes, that's where we draw the line. This is a better lineup than when Gary Richrath was in the band? What, are you crazy? Right. And of course, and I try to calm her down. I'm saying, well, that's the kind of hype bullshit that people say in interviews. I've done it 1,000 times myself. So, you know, you got to say that kind of stuff. And I haven't heard them I haven't heard them. You know, I'm sure they sound good. It's all studio musicians now. I mean, Brian and Dave are excellent musicians, but nobody is Gary Richrath,
That's right.
Yeah.
And they might sound more perfect.
There was a sound we made as a group, you and me and Gary and Alan and Kevin. And you can replace parts, and we lost Gary, and he had to go, and Alan retired. And then when Neil retired, I was the last one holding on. I'm the last link between Champagne and REO Speedwagon, really. And yeah, I know. And Kevin, he just kind of—I don't know what he's doing with this, but it seems it's lost the whole thing of the feel of REO Speedwagon. It doesn't feel or sound like REO Speedwagon to me, and it sounds like the fans. I'm not. For some reason he thinks that I'm filling these fans. I have this army of fans that are like all. I got them under my control. I do not. These people are upset that he tore apart something that they love, and they're really voicing their opinions on it.
Nobody ever accused us of being virtuosos,
What?
but there's a youthfulness that happens when five guys just click together, and that was the lineup that created the songs. And I've always said a little bit of a roughness and a feel
Rock and roll.
that sounds young. You know, like right now the band is really all studio musicians. Dave and Brian,
I
when we
love it.
got them, I mean, we couldn't believe we were able to. They were, you know, these were world-class studio guys. And now, you know, so is Derek and so is Matt. So they have some of the best studio players in the
You know, I
world.
have a story drop. Derek, when he first got in the band and was doing songs, he would go, and he's trained on how to play piano. And he goes, "I don't know how Neil did that." And I go, and he said, he called you up and you go, "Why are you asking me for? I don't know."
I don't know what I did, but I was getting a lot of texts
You
from
texted me, but
Derek.
you taught yourself. And that's something that's different about that. You know, I taught myself to play. I think
I love
Richard,
that.
I mean, we were all great players and a great live band, but we weren't doing everything strictly by the rules. And I think now, you know, Kevin wants a band that does things by his rules. I don't
Well,
want him knocking on my door, but I got to say some of this stuff because I think there's been an authoritarian rule that has developed in that band,
Oh,
and
sure.
I kind of saw it coming. Between that and all the travel, that's why I retired when I did. I wanted to.
You spent, well, Trout, you started this thing in college.
I 57 years is long enough to be in a different city every day.
I still liked it, kind of, you know, I still.
Well, I might like it if I went back now. I was telling our manager, Tom, I need a kind of a light year when we're not playing every single night. And he goes, that ain't gonna happen. That not at this point.
You know what the fans are saying? The fans want us to do a farewell tour.
That would be great. I mean, if there was a farewell tour with Bruce, I would also go back and be part of that. And then Kevin could go back to his solo career with the guys.
See, that makes more sense to me that he should have thought of that. I mean, honestly, we could have done farewell. He didn't have to say farewell personally. I mean, as a band, you go out and say that. And thank the fans for giving us this wonderful life and being there for us every time we come to town. I mean, if it hadn't been for them, what, you know, we would have been
And
drummers or something.
I think we would call it the farewell reunion tour. So
Farewell.
that's what it would
But then
be.
Kevin could run off and do his thing if he wanted to. And everybody would be in their good graces. Right now, they're just letting him have it. And you know, hey.
That's one thing that our one of our other Irving's partner, John Barrick, he said, why can't you do both? Kevin can do some solo shows with Matt, and then we do later in the year a real REO show with Bruce and maybe even me.
Got to
switch back and forth, like a lot of guys go solo, but they don't quit their band. And
Vince Neil does solo shows, but he also plays with Motley Crue. There's lots of examples.
I would like to get Gratzer.
Does he still play? Are you guys still in touch with him?
Right now he's on a cruise somewhere in the Caribbean.
Eric Richrath.
Gary's son Eric, who is a good friend of ours.
Yeah.
Play the guitar.
He's not a shredder like Gary, though. He doesn't play. Nobody does that.
There's never going to be another Gary Richrath. He was one of those guys
self-taught
who also made up his own rules, you know. And so you could tell we're very frustrated.
You know, what you guys are bringing up is there are so many complexities within a band that the average music fan doesn't know about. And honestly, shouldn't know about, because it's just like at the end of the day, it's like you guys just want the fans to just enjoy the music and not know like how the sausage is made, you know?
Yep. Correct. Yeah. But I want them to know we tried for a year to fix this.
We tried.
Yeah. I mean, every time I read a lot of the comments on Kevin's page, on Bruce's page, and a lot of them just go, well, why don't you just try to work this out? And like, like we're letting them down because we haven't tried hard enough to fix this, but we've tried really, really hard for a long period of time.
And the whole idea about getting another lead singer, me and Truck.
I was going to ask about that.
We're in our 70s.
I wouldn't want to do it. I mean,
I know, right?
I mean, we'd walk out on stage and the fans would be going, what the heck happened here? And, you know, we wouldn't do that. It's just a different, I mean, really, Kevin wants to be the, not just the leader, but the authoritarian ruler of the band. And that's been slowly building up for a long time. It's part of why I left, but to be fair, it had more to do with just all the travel.
I know Josh had trouble on the bus. He wasn't sleeping well on the bus.
Yeah, all night bus rides it was really hurting.
People don't know. I mean, it sounds glamorous, and the bus is some kind of a really amazing vehicle, and it has these great bunks and all this kind of thing. But you have to learn how to deal with it, and sometimes it gets really hard because it depends on what town you're in. For one, if you're like on the East Coast, the roads suck, and if in the Midwest, it's nice because it's flat and long and all that. But the buses can kick your ass, and you got to be able to sleep through it. You learn to sleep through it. And you know, we have a bus for us. We got a bus for our crew, and I don't know how they do it. Those guys, they work hard. And one thing that's really bothering me a lot is that I don't think they're gonna have jobs anymore, and they've been with us forever. I mean,
I think they will not have a hard time finding jobs because they're so good of a crew, and they've got that crew grapevine. Yeah, and I think they'll all come out of this.
They're good enough to work for anybody.
Yeah, but back when, I mean, I had a ton of pressure at first because I was being pressured to vote against Bruce. And I'm lying there at night going, gosh, I can't let Bruce down. I can't throw him under the bus. He's my brother. I mean, really. And I have two brothers that I love a lot, but Bruce is the third one.
Thanks, Trev.
I would lie there at night going, I can't let Bruce down, but there's going to be collateral damage. What if the crew can't find. Because Kevin going out as solo, quite frankly, we don't think he will do nearly as well as the REO is doing. And to Tommy Shaw's credit and Styx, they're trying to help Kevin get a start as a solo artist.
Yes.
By putting him on their tour. And I don't want him to fail, really. I mean, the fans still want it. And, you know, the way things are now, they want to hear the songs. They might not notice that. I mean, some of them will never get over Bruce leaving.
Yeah. I don't know if Bruce will get over Bruce leaving.
No. And nor I. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, it goes back to the 70s. Me and Bruce go back to the 70s,
you know,
in this being in the same band. And, you know, there's just no way that I would vote against him on something like this. But at the same time, man, there's
you have to
people
understand how
that
hard it was. It was, I would just come out of surgery. I'm trying to get back. I'm trying to do everything I can to get myself in a position where I feel good enough to play again. And I was there, and I am there. And I'm still being said, you know, he's saying, no, we kind of like what we got going now. And I'm going, oh. And they tried. So out of the three of us, there's three of us, me and Neil and Kevin. They wanted Neil, I think, if I'm not mistaken, to, if he sided with Kevin and said, you know, it's time for you to retire, then I would have had no choice. But my brother, Neil Dowdy, says, no, he wants to play and he wants to get back out there. And that's how he stuck by me. And I love him for that. But Kevin kind of, I think he came up with this thing where he was kind of saying, you know, I said, well, I'm just going to come back. I'll just not be there when you get there, kind of what he said.
What I wanted to ask was, you know, we've heard about the vote and you guys have talked about the vote, you know, that ultimately went, you know, you two against one. You know, the big statement, of course, is the fact that REO, the brand, comes off the road at the end of this year. So does that statement just happen by you two making that vote? Like, how, because that's what I think so many folks, you know, are having trouble reconciling, is just the idea that, like, you know, there are plenty of bands that go away. There are plenty of bands that, you know, that break up, but it's like, this is your brand. This is your legacy. I don't need to tell you guys that. And it's just like the thing that we see lots of bands in your peer group doing are, you know, they're continuing on. There's one guy, there's, you know, in some cases, no guys, but like the trend that we're seeing, which people are very interested in, is that maybe a classic band never has to leave the road. Maybe that band goes on forever, even when the guys that are in the band no longer are, you know, out there. So it's kind of the total opposite to say, we're going to take this REO Speedwagon band, the REO Speedwagon brand, and put it on the shelf. So you guys, like, if that came as a result of your vote of two against one, like, that's something that we really don't see in classic rock.
Well, not many bands.
I don't think I like that.
I mean, it happens all the time, but we just weren't going to do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're in our 70s.
I mean, like I said, I can't quote these things.
Yeah, sure.
But the cruelty in some of the emails that Kevin sent to Bruce, I just went, this guy doesn't deserve this brand anymore.
Don't you think the right way to do this, I do, would be to somehow put down this craziness and get this thing and go out and do the farewell tour? That way we leave our fans with this feeling like, that's what I wanted. Now there's an end to the story. There's the end of my band. And I don't care if it's anything more than that. We're just a rock band. I wanted to go out and say thank you. That's what I really think they deserve. I think more than ever they deserve that.
Agreed.
And anybody that wants to go off and do something after with that, should do so. But then they would have the blessing of the fans. Now it's the way it's being done now. He's getting crippled. I don't know what's going to happen to him.
And this well, is, and Bruce, you're close enough to the beginning of things, but it's like the thing that I keep thinking about, like that really applies to both you and Neil. Like Neil, you know, you being you know, basically a founding member of the group, you know, as Bruce said, you know, the guy that like put this thing together back in college, like, you know, I don't want to minimize either of the two of you because it's just like this hurts on multiple levels for both of you. And it's like, and, you know, I think that especially, and I'm hearing this from what you're saying, Neil, you know, like it lights a certain fire for the guy that was, you know, basically a builder of the thing back at the beginning.
You know, I mean, while we're on the subject of why I would vote to end the thing, when this whole thing started, we thought if we made this tough enough on Kevin, he would reconsider. At first, our entire motive was to get Bruce back in the band. And yeah, somewhere along the line, it just turned into a war, and we didn't think Kevin deserved to win the war. And I know that, I mean, believe me, that they put me in, you know, in a position of more power than I ever wanted in my life. Like I'm going, I can't, you have to understand, I cannot vote against Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce is my family. My wife and I are part of his extended family. There's a big group of us, and
we have a brotherhood, Trout.
Yes.
I've heard that word thrown around.
Yeah,
a lot.
I mean, sometimes brotherhood is not just a slogan.
Yeah, that's correct.
And you can quote me on that.
Right
off the press.
Wait, we're getting us. This Lord. Just in.
Yes. I think, can I just say?
There's a little wife, yes.
You're not shutting down the REO Speedwagon brand. You're not letting Kevin go out with the name, the touring piece of it. The brand still is there.
Right.
The brand is always, you're protecting the brand, right? It's like,
can you hear this?
I'm sorry.
Which is important. Yeah, absolutely. No, I can.
Oh, we listen to our wives, but not because
it's
we
a
have
smart thing to do, by the way. My wife has taught me this.
I mean, it's not because we have to, it's because they're smart.
Yeah, they are.
Absolutely.
Sometimes they say things better than we would.
100%.
Well, yeah, almost all the time. And that was my wife laughing back there in the background. But you gotta, here we are, me, Bruce, Kimmy, and Daria sitting at Bruce's kitchen table. This is what we have going on. Of us could not possibly do anything to hurt each other.
No.
And I, you know, I went, Bruce doesn't deserve this.
You did.
To be on the phone, like I say, Irving, I mean, a lot of people in the industry don't like him because he's so successful. But to us, he's that college kid that, you know, Neil, you play the piano, you play the guitar, mm-hmm. I'll be the manager. You know, that's the way it started out. And for Irving, when I saw I had missed a call from Irving, I'm going, wow, they're pulling out the big guns now. You know, they're going to come.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. He was totally sympathetic to what is going on and why me and Bruce have to do what we're doing. And he had a talk with Kevin, and he called me back the next day, and he said, I tried. Yeah. And you know, he said, I have no stake in this. It's just that you guys were my first band.
Right. He's a little sentimental about
and,
it.
And it's a shame. But he, you know, he didn't take sides. He just said, I couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So for me to actually accept a phone call from a person that most people think is a frightening.
Well, he's the biggest man.
Person, yeah,
showbiz,
most successful guy in the music business, and for me to just say to him, "I can't vote against Bruce," and you understand why. You know how close we are.
Yeah.
And it's not like this was easy. It's not like we just said, okay, Kevin, you can't use the name anymore because we're mad at you. This was a full year of soul searching. So I don't want anybody to think that Bruce and I just shut it down out of spite.
No.
We don't.
Kevin refused to go out and play with REO Speedwagon after 2024. And we have it in writing. So
yeah,
can't say that he quit. He won't say that he quit, but I guess, what do you call it? He distanced himself. Somehow he wants to be removed from his service of working with the band.
He withdrew from REO Speedwagon Touring Incorporated is the exact verbiage that was used in the letter.
That could be it.
And for many months leading up to that, the threat was Kevin will go solo. Kevin will go solo. And he said,
right,
let him go.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He could you hear that okay?
I could. Yeah.
He said it a lot of times, you know, heck, if I want Matt,
yeah.
If I can't have Matt, I'll go solo with Matt.
And it's funny because back in the day, Kevin and I, when we used to come home off the road, we started this little thing called the Strolling Dudes. And that's what I kind of think he should have done with Matt. He said, he got off on this guy and was having a ball. So go when you get home, go out and do something like that. But what he's doing is he's exploding REO Speedwagon. I don't think he thought it was going to go like this. I really don't. He's trying to cover it now, and it ain't working so good.
But, I mean, fans can go see him as a solo artist, and it's going to sound exactly like REO Speedwagon that has been touring all of 2024. So it's not like they'll never be able to see the songs and again. Kevin will be out there with the same guys as this whole year. And to a lot of people, it's going to sound like REO Speedwagon, no matter what you call it. And so we haven't deprived the true fans of an experience.
It's not going to have the same, feeling to them, because it's different players. I mean, Dave and Brian have been there for sure.
Yeah, Dave and Brian are great, and I mean, I don't know if they'll ever speak to us again, but
I love them both.
Yeah, they're like
you can
quote me that I'm going to miss Dave and Brian if they never speak to me again, because I like both of them and I think they are tremendous musicians.
They're great.
And they didn't really deserve to get caught up in the middle of this, except that they went along with it. They've been in the band 35 years. So
yeah.
I didn't expect to get their vote, but.
You didn't need a Trout.
No. Yeah, they don't really have. The votes just belong to the original members of. Which is at this point is just me, Bruce, and Kevin. So, I mean, this all sounds so businesslike to fans, and we don't want it to sound that way. This is between me and Bruce and our wives and our families being so close that it would just be like taking your own biological family member and throwing them in front of a train.
What?
I couldn't do that. Nobody, no rational person could vote any differently than I did. Not if they know what it means to love somebody.
You're not a mushy trout.
Yeah, I mean, and
I love it.
I mean, believe me. I mean, it does come down. It came down to my vote.
You did.
I'll take the rap. I am keeping that brand off of the road with my vote. But some things are more important.
You stood by me.
Than business. This I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. You know, you'll have me in tears here in a minute.
guys.
You got more questions? I just want to know what else.
No. I tell you what, guys, like, I mean, that's what I was going to say was I think that we've talked about a lot. You know, I kind of, I was thinking about the Dave and Brian piece of all this, but you guys kind of spoke to that. You know, you're right. It sounds like a business or however you put it just then, Neil, but it's just like, you know, for those two guys, like, it's just like, those are rough days for coworkers at the offices that are watching what's going on with upper management. It's just like, and again, you know, to kind of paraphrase something that I said earlier, like, music is not supposed to feel like that, but that can be the kind of harsh reality behind the scenes sometimes that, you know, if it works the way it's supposed to, a lot of times as music fans, we're shielded from all that. So I hate that for all involved in this thing that, you know, that you two are going through this, that everybody's going through this. It's a really unfortunate situation. And you know, more than anything, you know, like I said at the start of this, is as somebody that has, you know, followed what you all have done for heading towards 40 years, like, I wanted to give you guys a chance to say your piece, because I think that, you know, I think you both online have been vocal to a certain point. You know, there have been plenty of Facebook posts and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, I don't look at this as, you know, I always hate, like, the, you know, war of words in print and all that kind of stuff. I don't look at it like that. Like, I look at it as, like, you know, you guys should all have a chance to, like, kind of just share your thoughts. So I think that you've done that very eloquently and emotionally. And, you know, it's, I think it is what it is at this point, which is very unfortunate, but, I think if anything, you guys have taken steps that, like, it doesn't diminish what you guys built and the legacy of what this band has been all these years. Like, that will still stand with the songs and everything that's on record, you know, on the records and so on. Like, you know, so yeah, you guys have done some important work here to, you know, preserve that side of things, the legacy, I would say.
I hope so.
And, you know, and I want fans to know this was the opposite of a business decision. I mean, we, yeah. You know, as you know, it's the, when you're an, I hate to get back to things that sound business-like, but when you're the co-owner of an incorporated band, even when you leave that band, you get money when they tour. There's a permanent, like, retirement clause that, sure, that you will get a piece of the touring when they are touring, and we gave that up. Went so far beyond money or business.
Yeah.
This was purely about human relationships.
One other thing, yeah, I would say, the fans, sometimes I think I heard something that Casey said something about the fans, and they do kind of have a say in all this. And the reason, because they're the ones who come. They're the ones who fork over the cash. They're the ones who support us. I mean, it seems like they might have a little bit of a say in what's going on. At least they want the truth of what's going on.
You know, I've seen you, Bruce, like, you know, playing with your daughter. You know, so it's just like, I know that, like, you know, you still love to play. And, right, you know, Neil, do you still play? Do you still love to play? Like, you know.
Only in my living room.
Yeah.
Have a real,
I mean, nice, like, yeah, like, when you come to visit these guys, do you guys, like, you know, fool around musically at all, or is it just hanging?
We haven't.
Nice.
Yet.
I think that's pretty traditional. Yeah.
No, because I don't want Bruce in my band.
Damn it.
Oh man.
Nobody wants me in their band.
You guys, well, like, you have much more fun things to do than, like, be having this conversation. So I know that Cheap Trick is looming tonight, and whatever
that's
between,
right,
now and then, like, I want to let you guys go and do that. I'm glad that there's at least Cheap Trick on the other side of all this, because that's a, yeah, great way to spend any night.
Great.
Yep. And you know what? My wife married me because I know Cheap Trick.
I've heard things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the first time they met her, I went, yeah, she married me because I know you guys. And Nielsen goes, smart woman.
He never runs out of lines. That's awesome.
He's great.
They're wonderful guys. Yeah, I mean,
I was gonna say, I love that Champagne and Rockford are still united in some form after all these years.
Yeah, Love them.
Yeah, Rick awesome. Still lives in Rockford, actually.
Yeah.
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 Well, guys, let me let you run on, but again, thank you for taking the time here. You know, you guys are good guys. I've always had a lot of respect for what you guys do, and you know, so thank you.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
See ya. Okay.
There you have it. Another episode of the UCR podcast is in the books. I am Matt Wardlaw. Thank you so much to all of you for listening. Please make sure to follow this podcast if you haven't, so you will get future episodes as they're released. And we'd appreciate it also if you would rate and review the podcast wherever you're listening. Look, we are all music fans, so if you enjoyed this, you can find a lot more at ultimateclassicrock.com, and we'll see you there.